Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is your girl, Salt of Salt and Peppa, giving you my story behind the song on Consequence. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Welcome, listeners, to the story behind the song. I'm your host, Peter Chotti of Deep Cuts Media. I interview Cheryl James, a.k.a. Salt, one half of the great iconic rap duo Salt and Peppa, who are widely known as the first ladies of rap. What a year it's been for Salt and Peppa. They were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're now celebrating the 35th anniversary of their classic album, Black's Magic, which spawned the at-first controversial but then inspirational song, Let's Talk About Sex, a song that broke the mold, opened minds and conversations, and ultimately also changed lives when they adapted the song to focus on HIV and AIDS prevention, changing the lyrics to Let's Talk About AIDS. But Salt and Peppa's journey began when Cheryl and future Peppa, Sandra Denton, worked together at retail store Sears, together with other future stars who were simply pushing to make their dreams come true. And the rest, as they say, is history. Cheryl, Salt, discusses it all, the story behind how Let's Talk About Sex was born, and her musical journey all along the way. It's a journey that may see Salt and Peppa back on the road as early as September, but shh, don't tell anybody. Cheryl just revealed that because, well, I always try to break new ground here with this show. So let's push it real good, and dive deep into the story behind Salt and Peppa's classic song, Let's Talk About Sex, which is as relevant today as it was when it was first released 35 years ago. Cheryl, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
And Cheryl, I may call you Salt if that's fine throughout the interview too, but and excited to have you on to discuss the 35th anniversary of your album Black's Magic with the great song Let's Talk About Sex. And we're going to talk about Let's Talk About Sex. And we'll talk about sex if you'd like to talk about sex. And big year for you. You were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is super exciting. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Grammy Award winner. You know, where do you begin? So many great songs. Push It. Breaking out in 1987, and that's a song that still everybody listens to all the time. So before we even begin talking about Let's Talk About Sex, how does it feel? You're 40 years into this journey with Salt and Peppa, and how does it feel that 40 years later, your music is still as vibrant and relevant today as it was back then?
It's amazing. I never thought in the beginning that we would be at this point in our career. I always thought it would last for a while. I always thought it was going to be huge. You know, the first time I got on the mic, I was like, this is what I want to do. I don't want to do anything else. This is what I was born to do. And this is going to be great. This is going to work. No plan B for me, you know. But then, like you said, 40 years later to receive all these accolades, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award, Walk of Fame star, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I can go on, and how much our music is still being streamed and being played, even CDs and vinyls being purchased. Like, Salt and Peppa have really become, like, I don't know, America's sweethearts over the years. And I would have never guessed, but I feel blessed. It's still amazing to me because there is Salt and there is Cheryl, and Cheryl's always looking at Salt like, yo, go girl.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so is Cheryl different than Salt?
1,000%. Like, a joke amongst the family, which is Kid and Play and Herbie and Kwame and everybody, Spinderella, is that Peppa is Peppa all day long. Like, there's no difference between Sandra and Peppa. She's just this fiery, crazy personality, right? Bubbly person all the time, very funny, very energetic. And then Salt is, you know, the performing, you know, diva, the one that's like the go get 'em kind of girl. You know, I'm gonna attack that stage and I'm gonna make you love me, right? And then Cheryl is very introverted, like extremely introverted person. I have to like talk myself into being out and about, you know, and around people. But Salt, no problem. So I don't have an alter ego per se, like Nicki Minaj or anything like that, but I know when it's time to perform. And so I always shock people. They're just like, wow, you're so different on stage and in the studio. So yeah, there's a difference.
So did that come naturally to you, just the way you described yourself, and then going on to stage, was that a natural transition for you, like from day one, where you felt comfortable and you knew you were born to do this?
Well, as a kid, I was a performer. I was that kid that used to get all the cousins together and we're going to put on a play or we're going to put on a show or something. And I was the producer. You know, I was telling everybody what to do. So I've always had this love for performing, even though I was a super shy kid. That was kind of like a way of me not being shy and like hiding behind a persona, I guess, to be creative, because I am also a very creative person, you know, so that was my creative outlet. So I'm not surprised that this happened to me, because I'm both things, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. And I think it probably gives a lot of hope to a lot of people who are listening to this, artists out there who may be feeling that maybe I'm not comfortable to be on stage because I'm a little bit more of an introvert. And you're not the first person, the first guest that I've had who said that, where
yeah,
it's just it's almost like it's freeing up to be able yeah, to express yourself in that kind of a way on
yes,
stage.
Yeah, and a lot of artists are like that. Yeah. Janet, very soft-spoken, very shy person, but on stage she's a whole another person, you know. And I know a few artists that are like that, so it's pretty common actually.
Yeah. Well, so you are widely known, just given the legacy that you were describing for yourself, that you're widely known as the first ladies of rap, which is very, very cool. And you were the first female rap act to have a platinum album. Well, let's get into your journey a little bit, because you had your breakout song, Push It, in 1987. But tell everybody out there a little bit about how you and Sandra, Peppa, met each other, how it led to this moment where you got in the studio, you sang that song. Just give us a little bit of your musical journey.
I was dating our producer, Herbie Lovebug, and we were both working at Sears Roebuck, right? And Herbie was always doing his music. He actually used to be a part of a group called Super Lover MC. Kid from Kid and Play was in that group, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, a lot of history, so much history. And then I was also going to Queensborough Community College, where I met Pep. And we never went to class. Well, I never went to class. We were just, we were playing spades for the most part in the lunchroom, right? And then, you know, we meet, we become friends. We're like the yin and the yang, total opposites, but just very, very attracted to one another, curious about one another. They were hiring at Sears, and Pep wanted a job. And I was like, hey, they'll hire anybody. They'll hire you. A little chatter,
that's
but
funny.
It's true. They did. Yeah. They would hire literally anybody. They hired me, you know what I mean? So, you know, we all started working at Sears, and Herbie, it's a long story, but to sum it up, Herbie was starting a group. He wanted to start a women's group, a girls group. And we just did, the first song was The Showstopper, right? Which is the answer to Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick's The Show. That's how you got your foot in the door in hip hop, especially as a woman, right? And then Roxanne Shanté, she had answered UTFO's Roxanne. So she was like our example. We were really just like walking in her footsteps for the most part. The song blew up. And, you know, we did another song called I Take Your Man. We did a few street hits. Tramp was the next song. We got our deal with Next Plateau Records. This all, you know, started happening. But let me take it back to Sears real quick, if people don't know. Working at Sears, Kid and Play worked there. Salt and Pepper worked there. Herbie Love Bug and Martin Lawrence worked at Sears.
Wow.
For the record, like, what the heck was that about?
At the same Sears?
At the same Sears in College Park. We were all telephone solicitors. We sat in cubicles and we called people to sell them crap they didn't need. And Martin Lawrence had come from D.C. because he wanted to make it in New York as a comedian. He was working at the Hess gas station across the street, but then he came over to Sears because they'll hire anybody, like I said. And he used to try jokes out on me, and I didn't think he was funny. So when I talk to kids, I'm like, it really doesn't matter, you know, if people believe in your dream. If you have enough, like, belief in yourself and energy, there's energy behind that. And we all had that drive to make it happen for ourselves, and we all did.
That is an amazing story, though, because to have a place like that, a retail, you know, store like that, and you had all these people come together, so much talent that was kind of unknown, you know, that you unlocked together. And it's amazing. It's such a lesson for people out there too who don't know how much they have inside them.
If you
hang out with the right people to help give you the strength to unlock it. Like, that's
powerful.
That's an amazing story. Amazing story.
That's very powerful what you just said, because it's so true. And we do the opposite a lot. We hang out with people who drain our creativity and our energy. But then when you get with people who feed that, yeah, magic can happen. And it did. And it did, because everyone was successful.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you described a little bit about what led you to the first song that was kind of the breakout song, Showstopper. And it was the reaction. It was the, you know, the kind of the clap back to the song, the show, which is awesome. And so from that, you had the initial success there and you were signed to the label, which led you to go into the studio and one of the first songs was Push It. And Push It was a B-side at first, which is pretty incredible too. So tell us a little bit about that, because that song we're going to get into, Let's Talk About Sex, but Push It is such a classic, iconic song.
Yeah.
And to think of it as being on a B-side at first.
Yeah. We had already shot a video, but we needed a B-side. And we went into the studio just to throw something together. We did Push It in Brooklyn at this guy Fresh Gordon's house, in this little bathroom he had for a vocal booth. Hot in there. Oh my goodness. Me and Pep, like, we literally can't even turn around. We're just like in this little bathroom. And Herbie, being the genius that he is, Fresh Gordon starts playing the synthesizer line. And then Herbie's like,
we all know it.
And Herbie's like, play it again. And so he just puts the song together. Like I said, we're just trying to get a B-side for Tramp. Me and Pep did not like the song. We were like, this wasn't really our style, what we were used to. And we threw it on there. We were trying to promote Tramp. And then there was a DJ. I want to say he was from San Francisco. I'm sorry. I always forget his name. Who just flipped it over. It was one of those big, you know, DJs that I guess it was syndicated. And so it just took off on its own. And, you know, we got to make work a song, right? You got to, like, work music. That doesn't happen. Push It, mind of its own, just did its own thing. So we're on tour and Herbie called us saying, y'all need to do Push It. And we're like, what? Like, it's like a hit record. So we do Push It while we're on tour. We hadn't been doing it before that. The crowd goes crazy. And I'm like, oh my God, we got a hit song. And it's the biggest Salt and Pepper song to date.
Yeah. When you had that immediate success, because you were still kind of young kids, right? Mm-hmm. You were still kind of young kids, just pretty fresh out of coming out of Sears. And so you have this, I'm not saying immediate success, but pretty fast success.
It was like, actually. You're right. By saying immediate success, there was no struggle bus for Salt and Pepper. Like from the showstopper to now, you know, people are still shocked. Like we could tour at any moment and do great numbers whenever we feel like it, you know. And it's that has really been Salt and Pepper's journey. It's kind of like a meant to be kind of thing. Yeah.
So as a young, you know, still a young kid, how did that immediate success change your life? And how did you react to that? Because that's got to be a bizarre feeling where you're, I'm not saying that we're anonymous when we're, but you know what I mean? You're just a, you know, somebody who's a citizen.
Civilian.
A civilian. And all of a sudden you have this breakout success.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How you handled that.
You know, there's a part of me, it feels like I was kind of just like on autopilot, like almost like just sleepwalking through the whole thing because there was so much to be done. You know, it was not a lot of time to even really like think that seriously about it until later. But in the beginning, we were working at Sears part-time. We were going to college and we were doing shows on the weekends, right? Like driving to all these places. So it was just like building and building and building, just really putting in that work, that practice, you know, being in the studio, doing all the things. But one day I don't even think I was aware of how huge it was because we were so in it. But I remember looking in the mirror one day, like, people know me, like, all over the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is not even just America. This is international, overnight, consistent success, you know? And I don't think I still completely receive it. People are always trying to get me to receive it, though. They're like, do you understand? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying, but I've been in it my whole life. So it's not, you know, it's not easy to get it completely.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
So now let's get into it. Let's talk about sex from your 1990 album, which, as I said, it's celebrating its 35th anniversary, which is amazing how fast time goes. But that song does not go away. You know, it's still with us. It still has its impact. But what was your state of mind going like going into the studio for studio album number 3? Because you had immediate breakout success that we talked about. So now it's a few years later. Do you remember, you know, how you were and what the times were like and whether they were kind of different for you? Or tell us a little bit about that going into the studio.
You know, my mindset is always just do better than the last time. We got to do better than the last time. I don't know. I don't recall there being anything specific that I had on my mind other than getting it done. I just remember always being in the studio, having to make a deadline and, you know, just getting the song done. Specifically, the album, Let's Talk About Sex, was interesting, you know, because the way that the song started was, I remember having the conversation how the song was going to be controversial, wanting the song to be overall informative, but also provocative, you know, like we knew we were starting trouble, basically, this conversation we had with Herbie. And we started the song with, I know they ain't gonna play this on the radio, kind of as a challenge. And they played it on the radio, and all the controversy around it was, it's too provocative. You know, Salt and Pepper have young fans. Why are they making songs like this? I remember a parent saying he used to be a fan until his daughter started listening to this song. And I'm like, wow, people really don't listen to lyrics, do they? You know, because if you listen to the lyrics, we're not talking about being promiscuous. We're just talking, like, why can't we just talk about sex? All the good things and the bad things, the things that need to be discussed, right? So the song obviously was a great hit, another one of Salt and Pepper's biggest hits, which led to Peter Jennings calling us and asking us if we would change the lyrics. His daughter was listening to the song and he thought it would be great, a great campaign, if we changed the lyrics and made it informative concerning HIV and AIDS, which is something we had already been involved with. The Gay Men's Health Crisis, we used to do a lot of stuff for them. Life Beat, we did a lot of stuff for them. And so we were also concerned about the AIDS crisis, you know, and were informed. So it was like a perfect match. So I rewrote the lyrics and made Let's Talk About AIDS, and Peter Jennings used it on his special as a learning tool, which it still is in colleges and schools and sex education. People still use that song a lot. And every time I turn around, I'm hearing it, of course, on television.
And Peter Jennings, are you talking about Peter Jennings from News?
Yes, the journalist.
Yeah, Peter the journalist Jennings, from...
He passed away.
Yeah, he passed away, but he was the big-time anchor for, I think it was ABC News back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he had some role in that, inspiring or suggesting or somehow getting that part. Let's talk about AIDS, when you did that public service campaign.
He's the one that asked us to do it because he was doing a whole special for teens on HIV and AIDS. And they called us and asked us if we would change the lyrics and put the information, because people are so ill-informed, even now, which is crazy. But back then, you know, it was a big controversy about how it gets spread and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
You know, Americans are a lot of things, right? But it's interesting how when you go to the rest of the world, there seems to be more of a openness to talking about sex. And there's a lot of puritanical stuff that's in the States still. And like you said, your song wasn't about promiscuity. It was about just opening up a conversation about things. So let's go back to the first idea of that song. Did you have a kind of a melody or in mind first, or did you first have the concept? Let's do something that hasn't been done before. Like, tell us a little bit about just that journey of that particular song. Like, do you recall when you were together with Peppa and you were, this came to all of you?
Well, this actually came from, the idea came from Herbie. Okay. So I wasn't there in his process of producing the song and the idea. But during the song, during the making of the song, there was a lot of conversation about how this would be received.
Yeah.
How it would be perceived, you know, is it a Salt and Pepper song? Is it a fit for us? And so we collectively decided that, it would be a great fit. A great way to inform and open up a conversation.
And did the three of you then work on the lyrics together?
No. Herbie wrote Let's Talk About Sex.
Oh, okay. He wrote all of the lyrics too.
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So when he presented that to you, were you first, what was your initial reaction, just you yourself, to that song? Apart from the fact that I'm not sure it's a Salt and Pepper song, but just the subject matter and how it was presented.
A little bit of a concern of how it would be perceived and whether the radio would play it, and how it fit into our image, you know, overall.
Were you surprised at the reaction that it was immediately picked up and became a big song, like right off the bat?
Yeah. It was almost like a plan that worked, you know, challenge radio. You know, that they're not mature enough to play this song and they're gonna prove us wrong kind of thing. And
yeah.
That's basically what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, like we were talking about, the song's journey started that way, and where you're uncertain how it's going to be received because mm-hmm. it is very different than anything else out there. And then here we are now, 35 years later, and it's still the conversation
huge.
Starter. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things, and my daughter reminded me of this, actually. She's a huge music person, so we're always exchanging notes.
Love and, that.
And she was talking to me about the movie, the great comedy Pitch Perfect. And mm-hmm. I watched the scene again yesterday just in prep for this interview. And when the movie Pitch Perfect has this, what they called a riff off, and they're challenging each other where you have the young women against the young men, and they come up with a topic and then they sing to each other and they try to, like, it's a challenge to each other. And so somebody comes out and says, one of them says, okay, next category, sex. And let's talk about sex is the young guys are the ones who really rap that song. So how did you feel about that when you first learned that it was going to be in the movie, and then when you saw the movie come out?
Oh, I didn't see Pitch Perfect, actually.
Oh, you haven't seen that movie?
No.
Oh, Cheryl, you gotta see it.
All right,
it.
Well, I gotta put it on my list.
You guys are prominently featured.
Yeah, like, it happens so much.
Yeah.
I can't even keep up. I've gone to the movies, and me and my daughter are sitting there, and there's a whole scene of somebody doing push it or shoot or something all yeah. the time. But that's another one I gotta watch. Sounds yeah. hilarious. So.
No, it's really funny. You'd love it. It's and for everybody out there, if you haven't seen the movie Pitch Perfect, it's a great comedy. It's hilarious. But the Salt and Pepper song, Let's Talk About Sex, is, as I said, prominently featured in it. And like you said, mm-hmm. yeah, there are so many movies. And because it's such a part of the culture, all your songs, that
yeah.
they find their way in. And that's got to be a trip, too, when you see a
yeah.
movie or see a show and doing that.
Yeah, and it happens constantly. What a Man, every Father's Day, there's all kinds of commercials using this song.
Yeah.
Push It, Oh, Forget About It, Shoot, Let's Talk About Sex. Like, I had a meeting the other day, you know, we're going through this lawsuit with UMG about reverting our masters back, and, you know, the conversation started getting really deep about the millions of streams we still get every month, like how massive our catalog is, you know. And I didn't even completely realize it until this conversation, because it was somebody like really breaking it down to me. So yeah, it makes me think about how everywhere I go, movies, commercials, licensing inquiries is like constant for Salt and Pepper. So yeah, we did amazing. We had an amazing career, and it's getting all tied up just in such an iconic way. You
yeah.
know, like we've got them all. If I turn this camera around, there's awards, Grammys, and plaques all over the place, right? And now the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? And so it's like the beautiful way to wrap up a beautiful career.
Oh yeah. And mm-hmm. it's not wrapping it up, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said at the very beginning, the demand is always there. You can
yes.
you can decide to go on the road whenever you want to, and you're gonna have big crowds who are gonna be hanging
yes.
out and enjoying it. I would mm-hmm. love to see you guys at Coachella as an example. I think
yeah.
that would be a trip.
That would be great. We haven't done Coachella yet, but yeah, that would be great. They need to do a whole 90s Coachella. It's like the whole Coachella is everything 90s, and bring us old folks back outside.
Well, first of all, I'm an old folk, and I grew up with this music, and there are so many festivals now that are of kind of celebrating different eras. And so
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of 80s, and so your
mm-hmm.
idea of like having 90s, and then also, you know, combining them too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fire.
But, So the idea is out there, everybody. So Coachella, let's demand it. Let's demand it.
And all by the way, Coachella.
One other thing we should talk, because this is not my day job. And I'm literally, as we speak today, involved in the recapture of copyrights on behalf of artists. Literally today. So I'm deeply involved in that space. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we need to talk then. Off camera.
We should talk. And I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to talk. But yeah. For everybody out there, that's an aside. So for this 35th anniversary of Black Magic, that album, what special things are you doing this year for that?
I don't know that we're doing anything specific to celebrate. Me personally, also on that album, side note, is Expression, a song that I wrote and produced on my own that went platinum. The first song I ever wrote and produced completely on my own was a platinum single. So toot, toot, I'm tooting my horn. I'm probably, thank you, celebrating that more than anything. Because, you know, as an artist and also as a woman who's come up under a man, you know, Herbie, for me in particular, I never really celebrated that before. I never really acknowledged it very much. And so that means a lot to me because it was a time in my career when I was breaking away from my relationship with Herbie, as well as becoming more independent as a writer and a producer and saying more of what I wanted to say. We had been writing and producing before, but that was really me consciously making a choice that I want to do this more, you know, as an artist. So I guess I'm celebrating that, my independence as a woman and taking control and as a writer and a producer.
Yeah, good for you. And do you have any shows that you and Peppa are going to be playing or that have planned? Because I wasn't able to find any information about a tour or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I actually consciously about a year and a half ago decided to come off the road for a while for my own spiritual, mental, physical health, you know, because we artists will run ourselves in the ground. And I'm not doing that because I love myself. So we're not actively touring at the moment, but I'm pretty sure we'll be touring again pretty soon. I don't want to say, you know, but there's some talks about a very big, exciting tour that we might be doing in September. Maybe. We'll see.
Everybody out there, let's hold Cheryl to that. Okay, in September.
The ink's not dry yet, so I'm being a little premature, but it seems like it's going to happen. And it'll
East
be
Coast,
all of us. It'll
East
be
Coast
all
or West
over,
Coast?
All over the United States. Mm-hmm. East and West Coast. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even asked you, where are you today?
I live in LA now.
Okay,
I've been here
LA.
About 4 years. I actually just bought my home and came and moved in December, and then those fires broke out. Woo! Child, I was so scared. It was one behind me and one in front of me. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I just bought this house, please. Yeah. So I'm still here, thank God.
No, it's awful. It was awful for sure.
It was awful.
It continues to be just everybody who's been impacted, which is the entire city, you know, for the most part. And LA is a great city. I spent many, many years in LA, and I love LA.
All of Malibu is gone. That's like hard to even fathom that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody could have, but listen, on the happier note, it's great to hear that we may be seeing you out there. And then, you know, you've done so many different things. You have a biopic about you that's been out, but you were also kind of a pioneer when it came to reality TV. You had a VH1 series back in, I guess, the late 2000s, you know, 2007, 8, something like that. Just really quickly, what was that like? Was that fun for you?
Well, it was actually, it was not fun for me. I shall not tell a lie. Like I said, I'm an introvert, and that was very intrusive for me. But it was kind of like around the coming back together of Salt and Peppa. Yeah. Like I had taken like a 10-year hiatus for a lot of reasons. And, you know, there was a lot of animosity between us. And so we were approached about this reality show when we were like, well, what's real is that, you know, we haven't been together in a long time. So it was kind of like the bringing us back together and mending the fences kind of situation. We got a little therapy and, you know, and that really kicked off us going back on the road and working together again. So, yeah.
Of all your moments, memorable moments, is there anything that sticks out for you as an artist that was just, you couldn't believe the moment you were in, or it was so magical for you?
Winning the Grammy for sure. And performing at the Grammys. We did this incredible medley of songs and we had boycotted the Grammys years earlier. Oh, this is rapid fire. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, we had boycotted the Grammys with Public Enemy, Will Smith, years earlier because they were not showing the rap category. So then cut to scene two to be able to receive an award and to be one of the people who kind of kicked off, you know, the boycott was incredible. If you go back and look at it, we were like finished performing and then they called our names and we ran to the wrong podium and then we ran back to the other podium. Oh my God, that was surreal. And hearing our record on the radio for the first time back in the day. Yeah, my heart can race just thinking about it. That's how excited that was.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard that on the radio?
Yeah, me and Pep, you know, back then you could only hear hip hop on the weekends, right? And so we had Marley Marl, this DJ in New York. Herbie had given him the record and Herbie was like, he said he's going to play it. And so every weekend we're tuning in and no play and we tuning in and no play. And so this particular weekend, me and Pep cruising down the boulevard in Queens and then it comes on. Please, please, please don't stop. Is it real? And we're like, God, it's playing the Showstopper. We went crazy just celebrating. Pep gets out the car, literally puts it in park in the middle of Guy Brewer Boulevard, jumps out the car going, they're playing my song on the radio. And I'm like, get back in the car. So I want to hear the song. Like, girl. Yeah. So yeah, that was the biggest probably.
Mm-hmm. And that I can only imagine what that must feel like as kind of a young kid and you hear your song on the radio. Wow.
Incredible. It's wow, like that, you won $10 million. That's what it feels like. Cause you know, in your mind, it's like, we're going to make big hit records. We're going to be stars. We're going to make money just from that one song getting played. This is what's going on in your mind, you know, and it happened. So yeah.
And then what is it like when you told us a little bit about the Grammy Awards and when you perform there, when you're performing in front of all the greatest musicians from around the world, what is that like? Do you get any nerves or not at all?
In the beginning, oh yeah, we used to get nerves and I still get a little bit of nerves, but you know, I know what I'm doing. So, you know, practice makes you an experience makes you less nervous. But in the beginning, yeah. I mean, we were so young. We were meeting people like Stevie Wonder and Whitney Houston and Prince and like all these people that we grew, Michael Jackson, like, you know, just being kind of thrusted into that scene. And then we're overseas and we're getting plaques in Germany and they're giving us dinners in Austria. And, you know, it's just like, truthfully, like to be really transparent, it felt like I was living in somebody else's world. You know what I mean? I didn't really have time to be excited. It was just so shocking to us. You know, it was just such a culture shock traveling, but it was also like, this is happening so fast. I can't even catch up, right? And then there's times that I'm thinking, you know, we're getting these plaques and we have all this international success and they're celebrating us and the record company's giving us Cartier watches. And I'm like, I'm still living at home with my mom and dad, you know? So that's going on in your mind too. you're looking around like, but where the money at?
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
You know, so yeah. So yeah.
Because all you know the money is going someplace.
Somebody getting the money. Especially I went and looked up how much that Cartier watch was. I'm like, this is a $12,000 watch. Yeah. But where's the money at? So yeah, that came with time, of course. Figuring out the business and how it works.
Yeah. Which is so important for all artists out there, is to understand the business from day one.
Yeah. And it's the hardest thing for an artist to do, because we want to art. We don't want to do math.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. So to wrap things up, who's on your playlist right now and what artist do you respect today?
I did the BET Awards recently. I performed with Kurt Franklin, because, you know, I did that 8 bars on Stomp, and I got to see Leon Thomas, who is doing really great right now. I respect that he plays an instrument, that his music is still very musical. You know, I think we've been losing the art of music, and he's a young man who's hitting real hard right now. So I would say him. I don't really listen to a lot of new music. I listen to a lot of 70s, 80s, and 90s music, like, constantly. You know, kind of the 2000s is where I kind of dropped off. So I'm still Sade, and, like, oh, yeah.
Great artist.
Luther Vandross, and I'll go back to Al Green. Like, I'd stay in that zone. Brings me peace. And gospel music I love a lot, too.
Listen, it's a great zone to be in. It's a yes. Wonderful zone to be in. You name so many wonderful artists out there. And, you know, you, the energy that you have, but also the energy of your songs that continues to pump through all of our veins. And, you know, whenever we hear the songs, even though I've been around the block a long time, can't help moving. You know, you just can't help.
Yes, yes. Love that.
Which is, we need that kind of energy, especially today, right?
Yes, we do. Oh, the positive energy. I'm on my page, The Only Salt on IG, DA Only Salt. I'm pumping positive energy out, because boy, do we need it. So true. We need to be taking care of our mental, physical, and spiritual health right now. We need to be prioritizing that, because the scrolling and all the things that's going on is, like, making people crazy. So yeah, stay sane. And thank you for having me.
That was Cheryl James, aka Salt, one half of iconic rap duo Salt and Peppa, sharing her story behind the first ladies of rap's empowering and inspirational song, Let's Talk About Sex, a song that celebrates its 35th anniversary this year. I'm your host, Peter Chatti of Deep Cuts Media. You can find me at deepcutsmedia.com. Check out all the cool things we do. And if you like my show, please rate it, follow it, and share it with your friends, family, and other music fans like you. And also make sure to check out all the cool The Story Behind the Song merch, including the poster and puzzle I have in my studio, in the Consequence merch store at shop.consequence.net. And as always, thanks for listening to The Story Behind the Song.